I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Good Saturday morning to you, everyone, and welcome inside Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan, alongside Mr. Joel Nelson, who's here manning the controls, taking your calls at 412-928-9370. I'm Bob Pompiani, wishing you a great weekend. I know Steeler fans are pretty happy about what they've seen so far. We'll get to that in a second, but first, I want to tell you that if you call here, that's fine. It's 412-928-9370. We want to hear from you about everything going on in sports. But the Fan text line is brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they say there's never a fee unless they get money for you. And Fan Twitter is brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them, southhillskia.net. Our show is brought to you by Number One Cochrane. Shop 24/7 with Expressway at cochrane.com. PNC Bank. Ireland Contracting, home of the nightly sports call. Shendorovich, Shendorovich, and Fishman, they got your bag, not your wallet. And Iron Rock Tap House in Greensburg. Come see what everyone's talking about. We have a lot to get into today. I hope you saw our special this week on Drafting a Dynasty, which was a look back at the 1974 draft. Had it for you on KDKA Plus. Tonight, by the way, we have Draft Recap live on KDKA, the mothership, at 7:30 until 8. So join us for that as we look at the complete draft, not just what's happening today at pick 119, 178, 195, but the entire thing. But 50 years ago, 1974, we went back, talked to a lot of the particulars, a lot of the people involved, including Art Rooney Jr., and the people who really made that draft one of the best franchise drafts ever in the history of the game. In fact, it is the best. 50 years later, still the best. There have been a couple of others, like the Packers, I believe, who had three Hall of Famers drafted in one draft. But this was five Hall of Famers in one draft. Now, granted, back then it was 17 rounds. And, you know, you had a lot more opportunity to choose. So they came up with names that you all now know that comprised a dynasty of the 1970s, four Lombardi trophies. You know, so many different things that have happened with that team. As a result of what they did in 1974. Lynn Swann, Jack Lambert, John Stallworth, Mike Webster. Those guys were drafted in the first five rounds. And think about that. But 17 rounds was still not good enough for Donnie Schell to get drafted, right? Donnie Schell was a linebacker in college, and a lot of people didn't think he could play that position. So the Steelers drafted and made him a safety, and voila, another Hall of Famer. 51 career interceptions, one of the hardest hitters in the game. 5-1. The Packers, and I think Dallas may have had 3-1. I got to look back at that one. But the bottom line is, that was a draft that set the standard for the Steelers of the 1970s. Now, I'm not going to compare any of these drafts because I know that. I'm telling Joel Nelson here, I'm one of these people who I'm not going to overindulge in optimism. I am an optimistic person. I am. But I also don't want to, you know, turn it into we got Hall of Famers in every position, because that's not going to be the case. We've seen examples of why everyone gets excited on draft weekend, and then the regular season hits, and then 2 years down the road, things change. I mean, we've seen it recently. I mean, who would have thought Kenny Pickett would be drafted 20th overall 2 years ago and be gone? Who would have thought Devin Bush traded up 10 spots? All the excitement about that pick, and then boom, it's done. I mean, so there's, you know, obviously a lot that you have to take into account. But I will say this, for the Steelers to do what they did, which was to draft areas of need, because they definitely needed every one of these positions for sure. To do that and to come away with what they came away with, I think is telling. It shows you that they're very interested in winning the line of scrimmage, both sides of the ball. They haven't addressed the defensive line, but I suspect today they might. But when you look at what they did with the last two drafts, Omar Khan, Andy Weidel on top of that, with Mike Tomlin and company, And, you know, last year was Broderick Jones. It was Joey Porter Jr., 1-2 overall. This year, it's Troy Fontanu and Zach Frazier, 1-2 overall. So you got three offensive linemen and a need at corner, which were addressed in four picks. And they go deeper than that with what they did in round three, with a couple of Wilsons adding to the current Wilson. So you got more Wilsons here than the Beach Boys. Or did they have a lot of Wilsons in that group? Whatever the case, they have Wilsons coming at you, and they're pretty good Wilsons. The one from NC State, the only thing I'll say about Peyton Wilson is that he's had his, you know, injury issues. Bryce Wilson's brother, that's who that is. He pitched for the Pirates now, I think. Who does he pitch for now, Joel? He pitches for somebody else not here, maybe Milwaukee. I think we saw him this past week. So the bottom line is they went after positions of need, and if you take into account the fit that these guys provide, when you take into account maybe the value that they have, given the need that they had, it looks like a very good draft after 2 days. Now, in time, we'll find that to be true, but one thing is true. Their offensive line has really gotten better based on, again, on paper, what we see here. From Broderick Jones, I got to believe they're going to move him to left tackle, first-round pick. Isaac Seumalo was brought here as a free agent. Weidel knew him well in Philly, $8 million a year, but left guard, solidified. Zach Frazier now at a very glaring need. And I wasn't so sure that either him or Jackson Powers Johnson was going to be around just because of teams in need of them at center, also ahead of them. But it worked out that they got Frazier. And that's a good fit from, you know, he's a guy who's been down there in West Virginia for like 5 years, done a very good job. And they need a center. And he's one of those guys who I think fits the Steeler profile of what they like to do. Then you have James Daniels. And of course, I would imagine that Troy Fontana would play at right tackle immediately. Now they have Dan Moore, who they like, but Dan Moore was a fourth round pick. Dan Moore, you can say he outperformed where he was picked, but he's also, a victim of where he was picked. Fourth round, I don't expect him to be somebody who's a regular on the offensive line, and give him credit. He was thrown into that thing and did a pretty good job last year, not so much. And I think that's why they realized they needed to address it. So if he's still on the roster, you know, come training camp time, then he would be a swing tackle, somebody who can be good in the depth department along with guys like Nate Herbig at center, and you get stronger from that position. So I think from that point of view, it was good. They also had to address inside linebacker. They knew that. They've been chasing that ever since Ryan Shazier went down with his injury back in 2017. And not only did they bring in Patrick Queen, who's a free agent they kind of like from Baltimore. They like him because he's experienced. He's put in time. Yeah, they had to pay him, but he's only 25 years old. When you're 25 and in the second contract, essentially, and somebody who you think can be there for at least 5 years at a maximum rate of success, that's a very good free agent pickup. Now, they complimented him with Peyton Wilson. Peyton Wilson played at NC State. Peyton Wilson is a really good player. Butkus Award winner, Bednarik, multiple awards. But he's also had an injury history, one that makes you wonder, maybe that's why he lasted until when he did in the third round. But if he's healthy, you look at the explosion, the fact that he went 4.43 in the 40 at the combine, all of these things make you think that this guy can be a typical kind of Steeler inside linebacker. To complement Queen, and you have the two existing guys here, Landon Roberts, who I thought is a good run stopper, and, you know, obviously Cole Holcomb's injured. We'll see what happens with that. But, they've addressed needs. And Roman Wilson as a wide receiver is somebody who's going to really do well in the slot, I would think. But they need more there. And I think today, I would be shocked if I didn't see another wide receiver picked at some point of this round. 412-928-9370 is the number to call if you'd like to chime in on the Pittsburgh Steelers draft. We'll continue to do that. As I said, they have three more picks today. One other thing about Wilson, he has, and when you see this, you think immediately of Hines Ward, that he has a missing ACL. He has one less ACL than most of us. But Hines Ward didn't let that stop him. He became one of the best, I think still a Hall of Famer eventually, I hope so for his sake. Third-round pick, just like Peyton Wilson. So we'll look back in time, and hopefully you're going to get some success stories out of this. But again, if you've been paying attention to drafts all throughout the league and NFL history, there are a lot more misses than hits. So you got to know that it looks good now. What it will look like in time, we will see. But certainly encouraging news after 2 days of the NFL draft. All right, the other thing I wanted to get into today was the Pirates and losing again. And the reason I do, watching that game last night, I spent a lot of time watching games, and I enjoy doing it. But you see different things that make you wonder. Number one, Quinn Priester, outstanding effort. Six innings, confident. When I see him on the mound right now, I see a confident player. Somebody who has finally maybe started to get it. He did well in AAA this year. They brought him up. First outing, not so good. He gave up three home runs, and they lost that game. However, last night in San Francisco, six really good innings. And when he was in a jam, he got out of it by striking out some pretty good hitters, using sliders and sinkers and mixing things up. Looks very confident. Body language tells me the guy feels good about where he is, and that can only help the Pirates. The bad thing is the Pirates still can't hit, and the Pirates have still not drafted or brought in people who can hit after all these years. I was a little, and Joel, you could tell me what you think of this, because this is my observation based on what I've seen. Twice this week now, I know Henry Davis is batting 179. I know he strikes out a lot, right? But the other day, in that last series against Milwaukee, he was going to bat in the bottom of the ninth. Critical situation. They chose to pinch hit Andrew McCutchen, who immediately struck out. So they pinch hit for him. Last night, okay, top of the ninth, again, critical situation. He's up. He had struck out twice previously. You know, they have the bases loaded eventually. But first and second, no outs. They bring in Rowdy Tellez to bat for Henry Davis. Number one, Rowdy Tellez hasn't done anything to deserve to be the pinch hitter other than he was left-handed. Number two, at some point, don't you have to see what Henry Davis can do in one of these situations? Twice now, Derek Shelton has taken him out, never even gotten a chance. So instead of trying to instill some confidence on a struggling guy, and he is, but he's still a first overall pick, and I'm not giving up hope on him yet. But don't you need to let him hit in that situation instead of pinch hitting all the time? It seems like all the time it's going to be what it is.
I would say so. And tell you what, even if, let's say, he does get an RBI, even if it's just a simple like RBI single.
Anything.
That's an RBI single in a big situation. One little swing of the bat like that can be maybe all the confidence that Henry Davis needs. Yeah.
Conversely, like by not giving him the chance, he's got to think in the recesses of his mind that, oh, man, they don't trust me here. I'm a number one overall pick. You should
Bingo.
Trust me, right? And again, what do you have to lose here other than another game? Their pitching has been very good. Bullpen last night, not so much. That's another part of my takeaway from this. Chapman came in, got bailed off from a good play from Key Brian Hayes at third after he walked back-to-back. He's walking at an alarming rate. Chapman in nine innings of pitch, 13 walks. You can't continue to do that. And David Bednar came in the ninth. Walk, base hit, wild pitch, three-run home run to Patrick Bailey. Boom, game over. 0-0 becomes 3-0. San Francisco wins. But alarming that they can't find anyone to hit. Brian Reynolds, I'm not going to sugarcoat this, he's been a disappointment at the plate. When you sign for that kind of money, I'm sorry, expectations go higher. Last night, top of the ninth, bases loaded. This is your time to do something. He grounds back to the pitcher in a 1-2-3 double play. Problems, lots of them. And they have to figure that out. They're wasting good pitching performances. And you hate to see that because someone like, you know, Bailey Falter, bottom line is he's been really good in four straight starts. He doesn't have much to show for it. Priester, six shutout innings last night on the road. You would think that good enough to get a win at least, and they can't even get a run in this game. So 412-928-9370. Those are the topics. Let's get right to it. Martin in Uniontown is joining me right now on 93.7 The Fan. Hey, Martin, how are you?
Hey, Bob. I like to talk about the draft. I think the Steelers are doing pretty good in the draft. Omar Khan said he was going to do it, and he wasn't lying, that's for sure.
Yeah, Martin, thank you for the call. You know, I think, again, it's on paper. And that's what I'm going to, you know, but did they address the needs? Yes. Did they address the fit that they were looking for? Yes. And did they get the value in return? Yes. I think all of these guys were projected to go higher than when the Steelers got them. Now, that doesn't mean all these scouts are wrong, right, indifferent, whatever. The bottom line is, based on what you see, they got some pretty good players. Now it's up to these coaches to develop the players and put them in positions to succeed. I don't think it's any question that when Arthur Smith was hired here, and you heard Art Rooney at the end of the year, the Steelers want to still become a ball-possessing team that can win first and second down, setting up third down options, which increase the likelihood of, you know, scoring points, especially now with this new kickoff rule. You should get better field position. They want to be able to run the ball, play the kind of football that leads them to win the possession game. Now, some of you out there will be saying, well, yeah, fine, except that's archaic football. That doesn't work. Well, it does work if it's done in the right way. I don't think there's any question about that. If you possess the ball, but you have to cash in. One of the problems they've not been able to do recently is cash in on, you know, opportunities with 3 points or seven. They come away with zero. Red zone has been a problem. And, you know, this is designed to make it better so that you make your job at defense a lot easier, too, so these guys are not out there a whole bunch of the time because, you know, if you look last year, again, they lost the time of possession game quite a bit because of three and outs, especially in the first quarter. So they're going to want to change that, and there's still a role in this. There's no question about it, but you have to still be able to score points, and that's why they still need help at wide receiver. I think when you look at Roman Wilson supplanting Deion Johnson, to me, we'll find out if that's an upgrade. I think it is. Because of what he can do, he's more of a physical guy. He doesn't seem to shy away from anything, and I think Deontay Johnson did it many times. We have evidence to show on that. But you know, they want to play a physical, ball possessing yet scoring, striking offensive, and that's one of the reasons why they changed their entire quarterback room. So it all looks decent on paper, but as we know, they don't play this game on paper. One more call before we go to the break. Counselor joins us right now. Hey, Counselor, how are you?
Hey, Bob. Really, I'm really pleased with the Steelers draft. Yes, it's paper, but they address needs, and these guys seem to be not green. They played a lot of games at the position, so it's not something where, oh, we got to wait for this guy to develop. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, Kenny Pickett played a lot of games at that position, and it didn't seem to help him, even though many people thought it would.
Well, it appears that these guys were all for primarily – starters for at least 2 years.
Yeah, and I love that.
And were above average.
And now, and they have resumes to true. Like, for example, yeah. Fontanu only allowed 2 sacks. That was it in Washington. Over 1,200 pass opportunities, only 2 sacks allowed. That's really good. Frazier has been really dynamic in his years at West Virginia. So, yeah, you got – and I like that. I like drafting production sometimes over potential, because potential can lead you in very bad situations, I think, at times.
Now, the other comment I had is on the Pirates. I am sorry. I am in this game to win games. You know, as Herm Edwards say, you play to win the games.
Okay, what do you mean by
number one? Nick Gonzalez is tearing up down there in AAA. We need hitting, and he's .456 on base percentage. I don't think you should wait any longer. I think you should bring him up. And I'm sorry, you know, if you don't have confidence in Henry Davis, then let's send him down to the minors and let him try and work it out.
I would agree. Thanks, Counselor. I'm up against the break. I agree with that. But I also say, if he's going to be here and he's on your roster and you choose Rowdy Tellez to bat for him, please. That's not what I want to see. Are you going to tell me I'd rather see Rowdy? Yeah, you want to win games, but you're putting up a guy who's hitting in the same range, under 200, for a guy who's batting under 200. I'd rather see the number one overall pick get that opportunity. 412-928-9370. Vinny, hang on. Jim, Joe, Bob, we're going to get to your calls as soon as we can. But we want you also to know that here at 93.7 The Fan, we're answering the call. The Fan will host Fan 5-Alarm Marathon to benefit local volunteer fire departments. They'll be broadcasting live from over 26 hours as the Fan raises funds to help those volunteers who serve and sacrifice for all of us. Really unsung heroes out there. Go to 93.7 The Fan for details there and the event to register your local VFD. The Fan 5-Alarm Marathon is presented by Allegheny County Federal Credit Union and Og Murphy Porosky, the firm, and Gurdon Roofing and Contracting. All of these people getting together to make a difference. And salute the people who've done so much good work in our community. We'll be back with more of your calls. It's a Saturday edition. Bob Pompeiani Show, Sports Radio, 93.7 The Fan.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Rolling right along at 412-928-9370. That is the number to call. Once again, a thank you to number one Cochrane. Go one better and drive in style. Shop 24/7 with Expressway at cochrane.com. Back to the lines. A lot of people want to talk about both the Steelers, the Pirates, and if you'd like to delve into the hockey and NBA playoffs. But Joel, last night the NHL playoffs were complete a waste of time. There were too many blowouts, too many things. Although I got to say, Zach Hyman in Edmonton is unbelievable. I think he has 6 goals so far in this series against the Kings.
He's been pretty incredible, and, you know, getting to play with guys like Draisaitl and McDavid.
It makes a difference, but you have to understand where to be, and they'll find you. It's not as easy as it seems. As I always tell people about playing with guys like Lemieux and Crosby, you have to think the way they think. Anyway, Carolina and Jake Guentzel, they're doing pretty well. Up 3-0 on their series against the Islanders. A lot of first-round mismatches so far. Anyway, let's go to the lines again, and this time we'll start with Jim in Oakmont, who's been very patiently waiting. Hey, Jim. Jim, are you there? Was that a butt call? Do you think maybe he called that number by mistake? Jim, last call. Jim. Okay, I hear Jim back there. Jim, you're going to have to call again. You missed your time. I'm sorry about that. Let's go to Bob and Braddock. Hey, Bob, how are you?
Hey, good morning, Bob. Hey, great show, by the way.
Thank you.
Look forward to every Saturday.
Appreciate you.
Hey, that number 3 draft pick, Peyton Wilson. Now, I'm just thinking a little bit crazy here. I looked him up online, looking at his combine stats and the highlights. What do you think about this guy? He could play a strong safety if need be. I mean, he's all over the place.
Yeah, but I think their need is where they have him. He's very good at hunting down people and tackling up from where he plays. He can go side to side. He's got really good speed. I think he's actually pretty decent in moving back and covering over the middle of the field. Middle of the field has been a problem for the Steelers, both sides of the ball, for a long time.
Yeah, that's just a thought. I was just like, this guy's all over the place. But, yeah, I know they need linebacker help, but if need be, strong safety. I mean, dropping back, he could be like the Troy Polamalu of the old days, up on the line or dropping back. I don't know.
Well, but I mean, he is very good when he's healthy. I keep saying that because he's had to overcome a lot of injury issues down there. But when he's had those, he's overcome them very well. And, you know, so he's turned into one of the better, you know, inside linebackers in the country. So why not like him as long as he stays injury free?
All right, Bob. Hey, have a great weekend. Thanks for the call.
All right. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. Now let's move along to Bill in Uniontown. Hey, Bill, what's up?
Yes, I don't want to be a dead horse, like, you know, but the Pirates have been on a 3-game losing streak, and I think they're playing very badly, like.
Yeah, that's pretty much true, Bill. They're not playing well. They can't get any offense. Even when they do win games, they're not getting any offense.
Okay. Thank you for your call.
Thank you. I appreciate you
taking my call.
All right, Bill. Have a nice weekend. Liam in Pittsburgh is next, right here on the Bob Pompeiani Show. Hey, Liam. Liam, are you there? Uh-oh. Liam, last call. All right. Try again if you want. 412-928-9370. When we look back at this draft, though, you're going to remember it for the number one reason, and I'm talking about globally here, not with the Steelers. You know what I think about the Steelers, and I'd like to continue to hear what you guys have to think about the Steelers. However, 14 straight selections to start this draft for offensive players. 14. 6 of them quarterbacks. So that's the most consecutive offensive players chosen to begin an NFL draft. That tells you where this game is headed, has been headed for a long time. And there are those out there who tell me, on social media, and you can hit me up at KD Pomp on Twitter, that the Steelers are going about it the old way, and that way is no longer relevant. Well, I disagree with that because I think that way is still relevant. If you're still more physical, if you still can run the ball. Now, yes, you have to be able to score, and I cited that as a problem. Sometimes they get on a roll and drives fitter, you know, fritter out, and they end up with three or none. You've got to make good when you get to the red zone. But by having really good people up front, by having a productive run game and better quarterback play, and that's where it's going to start here this year, better quarterback play, you can do a lot of good things with your team. I'm sure Russell Wilson right now and Justin Fields are very excited with what they see the Steelers have done. If you're a quarterback, keep in mind, both Wilson and Fields were the two most sacked quarterbacks in the game the last 2 years, okay? The last thing you want is that. You want to give him time. Russell Wilson's better when he has time, when he can survey the field and do the things, and he likes to go down the field. Now, they still need more than that down the field. They need more help, and I would hope they draft another wide receiver today. And I know they're going to try to look at some of these, you know, defensive guys who are available. But still, offense is where it is. I get it. But you still can do that with a very productive run game. In fact, that's how you need to wear down other defenses. You can't have your defense on the field as much as the Steeler defense was on the field last year, especially in the first quarter, first half of games. Anyway, so 14 straight selections to start a draft offensive. Six quarterbacks. Caleb Williams. I'm going to go by these one by one real quick before we get back to the Lions. And Joel, I want you to tell me what you think. Caleb Williams has everything he should want as a quarterback, right? Number one, they traded for Keenan Allen. They brought him in. They have DJ Moore, who was a really good pickup in that crazy trade that Carolina made and regrets forever.
That was his best season last year.
That was.
With Chicago.
And Justin Fields was his quarterback. But they also brought in Rome Odunze, who's a really good receiver. They have a lot. They have a good running game. They have everything on offense. My doubt about Caleb Williams, you know, this is a fait accompli. They had decided long ago. I watched the end of the year. He was not good at the end of the year. He fell apart at the end of the year against good teams.
You know, you look at that like that Notre Dame game where Notre they got Dame destroyed.
Game was destroyed, and he had problems. He threw interceptions. I'm not totally sold on Caleb Williams. Jaden Daniels goes second. I'm more sold on him. Washington gets him. Then Drake May goes to New England. We'll see about him. Merrill Hodge does not like him. He called him a coach killer. Then you have, this is the one that surprised me, Michael Penix Jr., and I want to get your take on this. Michael Penix Jr. is the eighth overall pick. If you want to have a succession plan for Kirk Cousins, who you just signed and gave like $185 million to, you expect him to be there for a few years, wouldn't you draft a 20-year-old quarterback as opposed to Michael Penix? Nothing against him. I think he has a great arm, but I'm saying by the time he's ready to play, it's going to be 27 or 28 if Kirk Cousins lasts.
You would think that this would have been like one of the other quarterbacks, maybe J.J. McCarthy, who
right.
still has, you know, maybe 20 a few
years
things
old.
He could still figure out and stuff in the NFL that didn't really apply to him at Michigan.
Right.
So, yeah, it really, they're
exactly.
only going to have Michael Penix for a couple good years, assuming Kirk Cousins is there for 3 years or the full 4 years that they gave him on his contract.
And if I'm Raheem Morris and there's people in the front office, I'm asking myself, what am I doing here? Like, or they did it, but let's go back. If I'm the owner of that team, right, I'm saying, what are we doing here? We just gave all this money, we draft another quarterback, and I have other needs? That's a strange one. J.J. McCarthy, number 10 to Minnesota. They traded up one move, one spot to get him, and then Bo Nix, who Sean Payton loved. So six quarterbacks in 12 picks. That's crazy. Let's go back to the lines. We got Alan in Cheswick. Hey, Alan, what's going on?
Hi, Bob. How you doing? Thanks for taking my call.
Yes, sir. What's up?
I think the Steelers, I think they really, looks like they got some really good players. I really like the center from West Virginia since both of my sons were wrestlers.
Yeah, I mean, I think that helps a guy in that position,
yeah,
don't
absolutely.
You?
Absolutely. Yeah, there's no doubt in my mind. I couldn't agree with you more about that first quarterback taken. I watch a lot of college football, okay? And that guy didn't. I don't know what anybody saw in him. I didn't watch every game he played. And Bob, you guys forgot more about sports than I know. But that guy didn't look like a good quarterback to me at all. And you were talking about Penix. I saw Bo Nix play last year. I saw Penix play. I saw McCarthy play. Penix looked like the most consistent, accurate downfield thrower to me out of all those quarterbacks. That's the one. I mean, like I said, I'm Joe Schmo. I don't know anything. I would have taken Penix ahead of that kid they took with the first pick. Excuse me. What do you think?
Well, first of all, I like Penix. I'm not saying I don't. What I'm saying is I think that fit in Atlanta is kind of strange to me. When they needed other things, they finished 7-10 for three straight years, and they brought in a quarterback and gave him $185 million, then he drafted another quarterback. That doesn't make sense to me. If you can try to sell me that this is Aaron Rodgers, Jordan Love all over again, but Love was young. And I'm not saying Penix is over the hill, but he's 24. If you're going to do this, go for a younger guy. Caleb Williams, you've watched enough to know. The one thing he does, he is really good when he's out of the pocket. He knows how to make yards. He knows how to, but I'm saying when I watched him in significant games down the stretch this year, I saw four losses to teams that were really legitimate teams. And he had sloppy performances in them. Now, they've made whatever. Now, they may be right, but they may be wrong. You know, there's a song about that. Mitch Trubisky, Justin Fields, Caleb Williams.
You know what, too, Bob? One thing before I go. I don't care how great of an athlete these quarterbacks are. I don't care. Honest to goodness, I could care less what the color of their skin is, anything like that. If you can't consistently throw downfield accurately, I don't care how great of a quarterback you are. I don't care how great of an athlete. I don't care how strong your arm is. If you can't hit the broadside of a barn 40 yards downfield, what good are you?
Well, we'll see. I mean, things change when you get to this level, both good and bad. Thank you for the call, though, Alan. I appreciate that. There are some guys who come out of nowhere and are better. You know, you've seen those stories, the sixth-round picks, the fourth-round picks, guys like Dak Prescott. Maybe people had doubts, and then all of a sudden, not that he's a complete player, but you know my point. On the other hand, we've seen how many examples of first overall, second overall picks who just can't get it done at this level. So it's a different game. It's faster. It's stronger. These guys are all good at all positions versus what you see in college, where you maybe have two defensive players who are really good. The rest of them you can, strategize to pick on. But I'm not sold on Caleb Williams. That's just my overall take on him. I don't know that that's the right pick for Chicago. But they've done a good job surrounding him with talent. He may be the beneficiary of it. We'll see. Let's go to JD on the North Hills right here on the Fan Hotline of the Bob Pompeiani Show. Hey, JD.
Hey, Bob. Question. We only have had one pick guy so far in this draft, and that's gone Cleese. Do we see any other pick guys going off the board today? Bob Means, Devonshire.
Well, possibly. Devonshire may be one of those guys who could be, on the board next and taken. I think he deserves a chance. Bob Means, I don't know. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't have a feel one way or the other about him, about what they may do here. If he's a late-round pick, good. If he's a free agent, good. You still can go in there as an undrafted free agent and open some eyes, but I don't know where that all falls.
Yeah, I could see Devonshire as a Steeler. I like to see that happen. What do you think about that?
Well, just because he's a local kid and he's played locally, and there's always that. But is he good enough to do it? I hope so. It's hard for me to try to speculate on what a guy's going to do in this level here. This is a different game up here. It really is. And all these guys who come around, Jordan Whitehead was not thought he was going to be very good. He turned out to be pretty good. Out of Central Valley in the NFL level. So some people believe you can, some don't, and it's up to you when you get it. I hope he gets drafted. I hope he gets an opportunity, wherever it may be.
Yep. Okay.
Thanks, JD. Appreciate it. Back to the Lions. We got Bob in Beaver County. What's up, Bob? How are you this morning?
Hey, fine. Bob, my subject today is the first base. Ever since we traded Bell for a couple old bats, we brought in Troy Vogelback, Santana, and now
Tellers. Yeah,
it's
all cheap rental players, basically, just guys you want to hope flip the. They're all the same profile to me. Now Santana was a little bit better than that, but still, the bottom line is, I want some like if you heard me on this show, I was really hoping they would sign and open up the wallet for Cody Bellinger. Cubs are off to a good start. He got a slow start, but now he's getting it together here. That's a guy who, $16 million is $16 million per year, but so be it. That's the market. If you continue to go one-year guys who are coming in, I think Connor Joe's been better than Teller, so I would play Connor Joe more.
I got Jake Lamb down in Indianapolis, pretty close to 400. Why not bring him up? He's a solid hitter, puts a ball in play, and I think he'd be a great improvement over what we have with Talese.
What's funny,
too heavy to play first base. I'm sorry.
Thanks, Bob. And he's coming off a bad year last year, which is why I guess he was available. But of all the people who had to speak out, and ever since he came to the defense of David Bednar, which he didn't have to do, about, hey, we in Pittsburgh do it differently. We don't boo people. Well, wait a minute. You've been here for how long? A couple months, and you're making that? Save me that. Not necessary. I don't think it helped anyone. David Bednar was really, he knows how it works. Ever since then, he's been awful. And quite frankly, he pinch hit for Henry Davis last night. I hated that move. I want to see what Henry Davis can do in that situation. I know he's been not good at the plate so far. But in the ninth inning, when you have an opportunity with two on and he's due up and you choose Rowdy Tellez, and then three pitches later he's struck out and then Reynolds grounds into a double play, okay. Let him hit. Let me see what he has. Give him a confidence boost. This is the opportunity. Your team can't hit anyway. Whoever you call upon won't get a hit based on what we've seen. They're leaving runners left and right, and again last night, wasting a wonderful pitching performance. Let him hit. If not, send him to the minors where he can work on hitting. But don't, I mean, if he's going to be up here, let him hit. 412-928-9370. Rick in Wisconsin is next. Hey, Rick.
Hi, Bob. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. I'm doing pretty good. Hey, I want to talk about Troy. I don't think I can pronounce his last name, so I'll just call him
Fontanu.
Fontanu. can you tell me the implications about left tackle versus right tackle as far as salary goes? Does a left tackle normally have a higher salary because they're, you know, protecting the blind side? Now, I know when he played at Washington, he played with a left-handed quarterback. So is that a foregone conclusion that he's going to be the right tackle?
I think Broderick Jones is better over there at the left side. At least that's where I would put him. But I think they're both very important to what they do. As far as salaries are concerned, left tackles normally get more. However, a guy like Zach Frazier, when you're an offensive lineman, when you come into the NFL and when you're due, you know, if they're looking at fifth-year options, all these linemen are put together, I think, and they come up with, as opposed to like a specific position, a quarterback, running back, where they take the top 10 salaries, average it out, and there's your fifth-year option or whatever it may be. They take all the offensive linemen equally. So Zach Frazier could be in for a quicker payday at center if he does very well if they pick up fifth-year options. But, you know, as far as the money is concerned, I think if you're good, they're going to pay you, regardless of what it is. Left tackles, though, generally, in this league, get more, yes.
All right. Thanks a lot, Bob.
All right. Thank you, Rick. We're due for a break. I went too long there, but we have Adam, we have Mark, we have Bob, we have Tom. Hang on. We will get to you. But also, I want to remind you about 93.7 The Fan and the Pirates. They want to visit your teams in action for our youth baseball and softball showcases. Parents and coaches, send an email to the fan at youthsports@937thefan.com to register your 12 and under team, and 93.7 The Fan may make a stop to your field. Details at 937thefan.com. Century 21 Fairways Real Estate. More calls on the way right here. Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
All right, welcome back as we roll along here, getting close to noon, and then day three of the NFL draft will start again. The Steelers have 119, 178, 195. 412-928-9370 is the number, 412-928-9370. Call me with your thoughts of that. The Penguins, if you want to talk NHL playoffs, which have been a dud so far for me, NBA playoffs. And it looks like the Lakers are in big trouble. They just simply cannot beat the Denver Nuggets. Period. End of story. Denver's too good. They have too many things. They know their role. They're not individuals. Phoenix stinks because of that reason. Too many individuals. You can't win with just names. You got to have team. You got to have chemistry. You got to have things that work together. Denver is the epitome of that, and so is Miami. Watch out for them. 412-928-9370. Let's go out to Don in Rhinestone. Where's Rhinestone, Don?
Rhinestone, Bob. It's in between, I'd say, Brownsville and Uniontown.
All right. I've never been to Rhinestone, but on my way to Uniontown next, I'll try to look it up.
It's a little small. It's a little small area.
I love small towns.
But I wanted to, first of all, I wanted to say I had the pleasure of meeting you about 15 years ago at a little old Fraser High School in Perryopolis.
I was there for an Extra Effort Award winner. I remember all those trips out there. Fraser, yeah, it's a good school.
Yep. I agree with everything you said. You know, I don't think Caleb Williams is going to be that good. What I wanted to talk about was Sheldy. Is Sheldy on the hot seat if they kind of underperform, you know, maybe like a game or game over or game under what they did last year? Do you really believe that, you know, they might?
I would say no. I would say no, because they just signed him. And we don't have details because they never make them public about how long his extension is. They just had to pay Hurdle $6 million to go away, you know, when they chose to do that. And I like Clint Hurdle, but they made a move. I don't think they'll do it yet, no. It would take a total disaster for even them to consider it, I think. But they do, I put a lot of this on Ben Cherington, too. Let's not underestimate the fact that he has not been able to get any sort of hitting into this organization. All the pitching's great. You need hitting, though, too.
Yeah, I mean, I honestly think Austin Marine's done a hell of a job. Or can I say hell? I'm sorry.
That's okay. That's allowed. I said a word the other day. I had to delete myself. So don't worry about it.
I think he's done a hell of a job. But Andy Haynes has to go. I mean, I know they don't make in-game, in-season changes. Steelers or Pirates never have been big on that. But they got to do something with that hitting.
Yeah, I mean, last night was a perfect example. And it's not just young guys, or it's Brian Reynolds. When you come up in that situation last night, you got to come up with at least one run. They had a pulled-in infield, bases loaded, one out. I know their closer's good, but he's $100 million. And again, I'll throw that out because he signed it, and expectations rise. He's supposed to be one of their better hitters in crunch time, and he failed again.
It's so many times this year that they've left the bases loaded, yeah. No outs, one out. It's starting to get ridiculous. You got to point the blame somewhere, and it's got to go to the hitting coach or the manager.
And they've wasted good pitching performances. That's the crime of this all. They should actually have more wins than they do. Checking the standings, they're a half game out of last place. Cardinals are the only team behind them now, and the Cubs caught fire, and Milwaukee continues to do well. So Milwaukee doesn't even have their best player. Christian Yelich has been out.
Yep.
Thanks, Don. Appreciate it. Rhinestone, yep. Pennsylvania. All right, let's go to Adam in Pittsburgh. What's up, Adam? How are you?
Hey, Pomp. How you doing?
Good.
A big Pitt fan, but I want to talk a little bit about the Steelers draft. You know, I've been looking at all the grades, and you're seeing a lot of A's around there. And I get it. It fills a need, you know, getting some linemen. But I'm gonna give it a C, and I'll tell you why.
Ooh.
We don't – you have George Pickens as your receiver. We know he's a prima donna. He'll quit just like – I think, you know, he's the type of player that's going to quit like Deontay. Secondly, who's pounding the ball winning Super Bowls these days? Look at Mahomes. Look at some of the other past teams that won Super Bowl. You ain't pounding the ball anymore.
Well, quarterback is going to alleviate problems at other positions. If you get an elite quarterback, that takes care of a lot of things. But if you don't have one, you have to figure out ways. I never have a problem with trying to load up on offensive line and run game, provided you can make opportunities stand up in red zones to turn into touchdowns. They have not done that on a consistent enough basis. So you can do both.
Yeah. I mean, I get where you're coming from, but, you know, I just don't think the Steelers are built. You know, we have to get another receiver. I know this Michigan kid, you know, he might turn out all right, but, you know, I just don't see it happening with George Pickens leading your charge without any secondary receivers. I mean, it's a throwing game these days.
It is.
And they're protecting the quarterback. You know, you saw what happened in Tennessee. Right, they ran the ball. They didn't really ever do.
Yeah, but
much,
their quarterback right? play was less than average. If you even, you know, I make the statement. You can, even though Jackson's a two-time MVP or whatever he is. Their running game was good enough as long as they had better quarterback play. And in big games, he's gone the other way. So there is a role for that to be done. Those are both good running teams that made runs. Their quarterback play held them back.
That's true. What do you give the grade? The Steelers
incomplete. And I'm not going to fall into this trap because I play this game with Starkey sometimes, and he gets annoyed with me because I can tell you something. I don't want to amend it later and then amend it again and then amend it again. Like I don't know. What I do know is they address needs with good fits, and they got value at each of those positions. That's what they did. Value is that these guys they took were expected to go earlier than when they were taken. So, you know, the bottom line is, they did a pretty good job. What does that mean? That means they did a pretty good job addressing their needs with good people, it looks like. What that takes them, you know, I'll give whatever A you want to or grade you want to get it. I mean, right now it looks really good. But again, we've said this. I get cautious because there were things said over all these years about guys who were first, second overall. You know, I remember when Juju Smith-Schuster was going to be, and he was for a while. I remember when Chase Claypool, after his first year, people had him, you know, first team all pro. You don't know how this is all going to work out. You can only do what you do. And what they did has been very good work to this point.
Yeah, well, I look forward to seeing your report card on Twitter.
I don't do that. But if you want it, it's going to be my thing will be wait and see. Based on what they had to do, I'll give it an A. Yes. Thanks, man. Okay. I appreciate it. All right, Adam. Mark, hang on. We'll get to you in Fort Lauderdale. Randall in East Liberty. Jeff in Acme. We're getting a lot of different places here. And Tom in the car. You're all coming up. We got to take a news break. We have Joel Nelson with an update. Coming back, hour number two of the program at 412-928-9370. Thank you to PNC Bank, number one Cochrane, Shenderovich, Shenderovich and Fishman, Ireland Contracting, and Iron Rock Tap House. All tremendous sponsors for my program. I appreciate your support. Joel, take it away with an update. But first, I'll give you weather. Hour number two of the program right here on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Program note, tune in tonight, 7:30 to 8, live, KDKA-TV. I'll be joined by Charlie Batch, Rich Walsh, Jerry Dulac, and others as we break down this draft. When it's all said and done, the Steelers have three more picks today, 119, 178, 195. I would expect another wide receiver, a defensive lineman along the way. Our number here is 412-928-9370. It's also the number of the Fan text line, brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless they get money for you. Fan Twitter is brought to you by South Hills Kia, Peters Township, southhillskia.net. Our show brought to you by number one Cochrane. Shop 24/7 with Expressway at cochrane.com. All right, a lot of people waiting here. Let's roll with it. We're talking about the Steelers, their draft so far. Mark in Fort Lauderdale joins the conversation right here, right now. What's up, Mark?
I'd like to talk a little Bucco baseball with you, Bob. I want to ask if you were Bob Ben Charrington sitting on Federal Street tomorrow. I think it's tomorrow, Monday, the latest. They have to make a decision on Grandel. He can only be in the minor league for so long. Are you sending Henry Davis down to Indianapolis to, you know, get a little time to recollect some thoughts and put it together?
Well, my answer would be yes, if they're not going to even use him to bat in situations that – call for a clutch hit. And the last two times in this week, they've pinch hit McCutchen for him and Tellez for him, and both have struck out. I'd rather find out what Henry Davis can do, and it would also help me in terms of giving the kid a little confidence boost, as opposed to every time there's a critical situation, I got to pinch hit for him. If that's the case, yes, send him down.
The other question I want to ask you is, do you know when the Pirates are going to name their Hall of Fame, Pirates Hall of Fame class this year? I'm hoping that Manny Sanguine will get in. He's 79 now and just done so much for Pittsburgh.
Yes,
and
he has. I hope so, too. I don't know when, but Sanguine deserves it and what he's been.
I'd like to see him, John Candelaria, Vernlaw, and Jimmy Leland get in this year. I'd love for those four guys to get in. I think they'll be really good representatives for the Pirates Hall of Fame.
Well, Leland's got his own big-time Hall of Fame coming up this summer, so looking forward to that. Thank you, Mark, for the call. Appreciate it. 412-928-9370. Tony in North Carolina joins us. And Tony, I don't know who you had in your draft board, but I got to give a shout out to John Kosciuszko of Latrobe because he had all four picks right. So congratulations to John, who was once at Latrobe High School, a lot of time spent up there in Latrobe, and 4 for 4 so far. So if you want a lottery number, call John Kosciuszko. Tony, what's up?
Hey, Bob, first of all, I have to congratulate you not only on your knowledge of sports, but on how nice you've always been to your callers.
My pleasure. I appreciate you taking the time. Thank you.
I have a question, and I'm not being sarcastic because I've watched football all my life. I'm in my mid-70s. But, you know, there's just so much I don't know because, you know, you can't learn that much from the pundits or watching TV or live if you don't have somebody telling you what the heck's going on. You know, the Steelers drafted this tackle from Washington. I assume they know what they're doing. You know, he's supposedly really good. Somebody else drafted another lineman from Washington. I have a question, though. You know, Michigan just beat that line up in the national championship game. You know, was Michigan sending players from places that they didn't expect, or were they getting beat one-on-one?
Well, I think game planning and strategizing, you know, how to attack a offense like Washington is, I'm sure, predicated on getting to the quarterback, and they did that against Michael Penix. And again, I'd have to go back and break down. I just know that Troy Fontano is a guy who was highly thought of. A lot of people may have shied away from him because if you look at this, guys like Joe Ault, Latham, Fashanu, who else? Fuga, Amarius Mims was a guy that was on the board. All those guys were taken ahead of him, and maybe it was because he was kind of shorter in stature, but he has long arms from what, you know. All I'm telling you what I know of the guy watching a multitude of games, including that one. But I you know, you're never going to – all I know is that he gave up two sacks and 1,231 pass – drop back pass opportunities.
Yeah,
that's a pretty good number for
tremendous.
Me.
That's tremendous. And, you know, I hope he's here for a long time as the Steelers are planning.
I think he will be. I think both he and Broderick Jones, you know, money notwithstanding, if that ever becomes a problem. But, yeah. You want to have those kind of guys on your offensive line. And then you have a nice middle of it now with Frazier anchoring Sayamalu and Daniels. And that's a good pick,
yeah,
too, because it was a pick of need. They needed somebody there.
I never thought they'd take Roman Wilson because of his stature, because Waddle was such a – goes so heavy for really big football players. But
he's also – he is a workhorse, and he covers the sideline to sideline, and – he may be the fastest linebacker they've drafted since Ryan Shazier in terms of his 40 speed. So there's a lot including injuries. You have to watch out for those because he's had to overcome them. But that says a lot to me about a guy who's overcome these kinds of injuries to get back to that stature of being what he was.
Yeah. No, I was congratulating them on the other Wilson, the wide receiver.
Oh, Roman, yeah. He's a good slot guy. Yeah. I hope he can be effective in that role. Thanks, Tony.
Yeah.
I appreciate the call from North
so
Carolina. Yes, sir. Let's go out to Randall in East Liberty, who joins us right now on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Hey, Randall.
Hey, Bob. It's 11 o'clock in Pittsburgh, and I'm right here with Bob Pompeiani.
Well, first of all, it's 12 o'clock. What time? Wait a minute.
No,
maybe I'm off here. I don't even know what time it is. That's most of my mornings. I don't know what day it is, what time it is, but I just get up and get into the day.
Hey, Bob, you're great. One, Pirates, always blame Bob Nutting for everything that's wrong. Fail the team. You've milked Pittsburgh long enough. So what I want to ask you about the draft, I love it, but when players start sliding, don't you think your game plan should kind of go out the window? Remember 1988, Rod Woodson slid, Ben Roethlisberger slid a bit. So you had at number 20 the number one and number two cornerback, Kenyon Mitchell and Terrion Arnold.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that one day the Steelers may regret if those guys turn out to be all pros?
You know, they may, but I also will tell you, Randall, that you can't pass on the opportunity to get what could be a guy who could be here for many years anchoring one of the tackle spots. They're all equally important, and cornerback has been a bugaboo for the Steelers for a long time. They haven't drafted well when they've been there, and even some of the free agent people they've brought in have been older guys. So JPJ was a good one last year. I thought that was a good pick. They acquired that in a Chicago deal. He looks like – now, they need someone opposite him. And they may have to go, because they're running out of picks and they need still more things, they may have to go into free agency, somebody, an older guy who's sitting up there. I think Andrew Filippone threw out Stephon Gilmore. Now, he's older, but he may be looking for one more opportunity. It could be a good guy. Somebody like that, if they're looking to secure it for one more year, and then you go back into next year's draft and try to find that. But you can't solve all these needs in one fell swoop. I think they're trying to do the best they can. But, yeah, they had a choice. They could have made a cornerback there, but time will tell whether or not that was right or wrong pick.
Hey, Bob, thanks a lot.
All right, Randall, thank you. Appreciate it. Jeff in Acme. Acme, where is Acme? We had Rhinestone earlier. Acme now, Jeff. Where are we?
Acme's up towards Seven Springs off of the Donegal Interchange.
Okay, good.
Outside of Mount Pleasant. About Pittsburgh Pirates. They like to talk about metrics. So since 1999, they've only had five people in the Pittsburgh Pirates
make the All-Star team who are offensive players selected, drafted, and developed or signed by this team. There's something inherently wrong with the way that they do their offensive players, deal with their offensive players, develop their offensive players, and scout their offensive players. It's just that is the lowest number in baseball by six. Mm-hmm. I'm not talking about Hall of Famers, just All-Stars.
Right.
So what you were saying before about the Steelers, you got to draft, you got to develop. There's something wrong. If they don't make this change, they can have schemes, they can have four All-Stars on the mound. If you can't get more than 2.3 runs per game, you're going to fail. And they just have to change something. But thank you so much, Bob.
All right, Jeff. Thank you. I totally agree. You've got to support some of these guys. It's like playing defense on football, and you shut your team down, hold them to 12 points, but your offense doesn't score. It wears on your defense, and it would wear on your pitching staff too. If you can't get more run support for these guys, they've. If I look at the and hang on, because I wrote this down somewhere, I got to find with all my papers here. The ERAs of Pirate pitchers right now, collectively, for starters. Hold on a minute, I'll find it because it comes off of last night where Quinn Priester six shutout innings, and then they get to the ninth it's scoreless and they can't get a run with the bases loaded and one out. Marco Gonzalez, before he was injured, sub three. Jared Jones has been outstanding, 279. Bailey Falter, even after one bad outing where he first five hitters got on, 3.33. That counts that. Since then, it's been under two. Martin Perez, 3.45, and Keller has been the odd man with 480. But, my point is you need some run support. Henry Davis was supposed to be that guy, and if he's not capable of doing it, send him down, let him work on it. I'm not giving up on the guy, but I think it sounds like the Pirates in critical situations aren't convinced he can get the job done. When you pinch hit Rowdy Tellez for your number one overall pick, that sends a message. When you pitch in an older Andrew McCutchen for your number one pick, that sends a message. Both of them failed. I would have liked to have gotten Henry Davis that chance. Brian Hayes, another guy, to point to your observation. Now, last year we thought maybe he was coming on a little bit. He still has no home runs. He's getting on base, fine. But for a hot corner dude, you better hit home runs. They don't have many home runs. Who else have they developed in the hitting? Jack Sawinski's just what he is. He's struggling at the plate. He can give you some power, but that's about it. They need the guys like Gonzalez down in the minors to get up here and translate that and make it work up here. Cruz has struggled a little bit this year. They got to get better in that regard, or it doesn't matter what their pitching is, and you're right. Frustration could settle in. Ed in the car joins us right now, and he wants to switch it up, talk some hockey. What's up, Ed?
Hey, Bob. I read this morning that Mike Sullivan is interested to go and coach the New Jersey Devils. They have a younger team.
Where did you read that?
Well, I apologize for not knowing the details on it. I get a bunch of stuff that pops up on my screen.
Don't believe everything you read.
I understand that. Although it could be sending a message to Dubas about, you need to get younger.
No, I don't think he'd do that. I don't think he would ever talk about it. I think those two guys have, been together, and I would be shocked if there was any sort of quote or anything like that that would support that. I think Sullivan likes what he – I agree. He needs to get younger. I agree. They know that. But they've chosen a path that they can't get out from right now, Ed. That's the problem. They chose that path thinking that they could find guys to complement some of their big three or four, depending on who you include in that. And that has not happened. And they have to do it. They have to get better at it. They have to figure out ways to get rid of some of this salary stuff they're stuck with. And it's not going to be the guys you would expect at the top. It's going to have to be other guys. And it may be Tristan Jarry, if someone could take that contract away from you. Who knows? So, but they got to do that. Whether it's bringing in free agents who are younger and better, or drafting people who can get up here quickly. I'm hoping to see Jaeger next year crack a spot. Sam Poulin was brought up this year. You know, he's been a disappointment. It's taken him way too long. You know what I'm saying? Those guys have to. If you don't get support from within your system, then where are you going to get it?
Thank you, Bob.
All right, thank you, Ed. Appreciate the call. Hockey playoffs have been a disaster so far. Not very interesting for me to watch at all. And I like hockey playoffs. I've watched them. And Carolina's just too good for the Islanders. The Rangers, you know, the Penguins would have been a better opposition for the Rangers. It would have been much better in terms of television watching and games. It's just, it's not a good series. Boston-Toronto may be the best series going, but I think Boston just has their number. And then you look at some of the ones out west. They're just not, you know, tonight I'll be anxious to watch Vegas and Dallas, Joel. Because I think Dallas has a better team, but Vegas somehow, some way is putting it together. Logan Thompson in goal has been terrific, and they've been smothering Dallas with guys like Jack Eichel taking a prominent role. And then, of course, the Edmonton Oilers beat the Kings last night. They're going to win that series. Colorado-Winnipeg surprises me because Winnipeg won game one, and the Avalanche have bounced back, and they've been really good with their offense, 6 goals last night. So NBA, you like talking about the NBA, don't you? So LA has lost like 12 in a row to Denver.
It's wild.
They can't beat that team, and the reason is because they don't play the way the Nuggets play. Nuggets are down 20 the other day, and you knew that there was going to be a comeback. I didn't think they'd be able to win, but they did. They got to be defeated, LA. What do you do to try to offset what Denver has?
I've got no clue.
No clue. You put the white flag up, and you surrender. That's what's going to happen. It'll be a 4-game sweep. I didn't think that. I thought LA would win one game. Suns stink. They over brought in names, and it doesn't matter. Durant's not the same player. Bradley Beal didn't do a thing for them.
They got rid of a lot of their depth pieces, you know, which are proving that critical, that they kind of needed those guys for the playoffs, you know, if your big three ain't getting going.
And then you have Indiana beating Milwaukee now. They're up in that. I'd like to see for T.J. McConnell a chance to get deep into the playoff run.
That would be super cool for those guys.
He didn't win Sixth Man of the Year, but I thought he should have. I thought he was that good. Anyway, we're due for a break. Call. Boards are wide open right now. I try to get through as many as I can. There are more opportunities for you to sound off at 412-928-9370. Thank you to number one Cochrane. Shop 24/7 with Expressway at Cochrane.com. PNC Bank. Ireland Contracting. When you need a roof, go to them. And join us on the Ireland Contracting Sports Call every night on KDK Plus and 93.7 The Fan right here. And also Iron Rock Tap House, Shenderovich, and Fishman, all good sponsors of the program. We appreciate your support, and I appreciate you calling. Lines are open for you at 412-928-9370. I'll be on the air until 1, and then it's Matty Cole, Folzy, Nene. He's got multiple personalities. He'll be in the studio here for 4 hours. You can call him at 412-928-9370. Due for a break, due for Joel Nelson headline right here on the Bob Pompeiani Show, Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. All right, welcome back as we roll along here, 412-928-9370. Got a reminder, tonight, 7:30 p.m. on KDK-TV, we have a draft recap. Charlie Batcher joined me, as well as Rich Walsh and Jerry Dulag and others. We'll talk about what the Steelers have done over 3 days, and day 3 is underway, and there are how many picks away? Like 13 picks away or less than that? For their fourth round pick, and they have 3 picks today. Joel Nelson is taking your calls at 412-928-9370. I got a bunch of reaction here about the Pirates. Big D, Tigerberg on Twitter, it's at KD Pompey, says Rowdy Tellez shouldn't even be on this team. Well, again, they bring these guys in for 1 year, Carlos Santana before him, Vogelbach before him. It's all the same kind of guys, you know. Give it to go out and spend some money. EJM says Bednar's overweight. Get in shape. Maybe that's his problem. Well, listen, his arm is all I care about, and his arm is still pretty good. He has a location problem last night with a walk, although I thought he got squeezed at the plate on what would have been a strike 3 call. But still, that ninth inning went walk, single, wild pitch, 3-run home run, game over. And Chapman wasn't much better. He's one of the worst when it comes to walks per 9 innings in baseball. He's got to get that under control. All right, back to the lines. Joe and Butler. Hey, Joe, what's going on?
Well, Bob, you sort of stole my thunder. Why didn't the Pirates go after that first baseman that Milwaukee signed? And also, nobody ever mentions this, but why don't the Pirates try to sign Skeens and Jones the same way Milwaukee did with their that rookie outfielder. Like signing
Yeah, Churio. They gave Churio a whole bunch of money. Right. He's only 20 years old.
Right.
Again, I wouldn't have a problem with that, but I also would like to see some hitters have this kind of opportunity. They don't have anyone in their system worth signing right now. Hitting, I'm talking about.
Right.
Pitching, you may make that argument, but I also know that you're also going to get guys who get injured. One of the tough things to do, I think, is give an 8-year contract to a pitcher right now. Just because there's too much injury potential there. I think there's less of it with a guy like Churio or anybody who falls into the hitting category. There's always risk, but you minimize it. If he's what you think he is, you can save some money down the road, for sure.
Yeah, they're minor leagues, too, like Altoona and Bradenton. They're almost all their starting lineup is hitting under 200. They got to do something with the hitting coaches.
Yeah, I mean, you need better production. They're expecting Tamar Johnson one day to come up here and be a really good player. Nick Gonzalez, how long is it going to take? He's hitting now, but he's hit before in the minors. He gets up here and that changes. But if you're going to do it, you need to just give him a bigger opportunity, a bigger sample size than just a week or two and then, you know, send him back down. And I'm glad that Triolo's getting a chance. You know, he's good defensively. I think there's more potential for offense there. But other than that, they need Cruz to wake up, play better, stroke the ball better. Suwinski's not doing it on a consistent basis. Combine Tellez along with Hayes and Henry Davis have one home run combined. That's it. You can't have that.
They're going to give Bart a chance to be the regular catcher?
I think no. I think Grandal will be it when he's healthy, and that should be soon. And Bart will be here as a backup. He's done well when he's gotten a chance. You know, 3 home runs speaks to that in limited play. I think that'll give him an opportunity to send Davis down, because if you don't bat for Davis in clutch situations, then what's the point of having him up here? Let him work on it down there. Take some pressure off of him.
Yeah, I wish the Pirates, instead of signing 3 or 4 bargain basement free agents every winter, go after one guy that you think can make a difference.
Yes, thank you, Joe. I appreciate that. I've been saying that for years. Instead of, you know, all of a sudden a $3 million here, a $4 million here, a $6 million here, a $4 million. You know, by the end of the year, you're spending $20 million on nothing. I'd rather have that go to one person who can make a significant difference in my team. But they choose not to do that because, again, it would be a lot easier if you developed from within and you didn't have to do this every year. But by not getting the results of people in your own organization, you have to be forced to do it. All right, let's go to AJ, Natrona Heights, the next destination here on the Bob Pompiani Show. What's up, AJ?
Bob, good day to you.
Good
How
day.
Are you?
I'm doing well. How about you?
Good. This time last year, I was real excited about the pick late rounds of Corey Trice. Obviously, he sustained that injury in camp. Big. They also signed Darius Rush, also 6'2", Trice 6'3". I know they got Dante Jackson. The fact that they didn't draft a corner high here, do you perhaps believe that they have high hopes for Trice and Rush to really fortify that backfield?
Well, I think they have hopes for Corey Trice. I don't know about Rush so much. He was brought in kind of in the midstream last year. I think Trice, they really liked him when he drafted. It's unfortunate that he had the injury when he did and missed the entire season. Now, if he could be the guy that steps up and plays to what I think he's capable of, again, that's a wild card at this point. I think you have to but if they believe that, then it may lessen their need, and maybe that's why they didn't react in the first round to go cornerback when they had a couple on the table who were pretty good.
I can only think influence.
Hey, Dante Jackson, I'll say this about him. When he's healthy, when he's been healthy, he's had some injuries, he's been a pretty reliable guy. So, I see also that Jerry Dulac reported that they've brought in Cam Sutton for a visit. I'm a little bit surprised by that, given all the off-season problems off-field problems he has had. I don't know what that would be like after Detroit got rid of him immediately.
I know, and it was a bad charge, but was he not released from all of that? I can't remember.
Yeah, I don't know where that stands. Joel, do you know? No, Detroit got rid of him, but yeah, I'm talking about the actual legal. I don't know. I haven't followed up on that, so I should and I will. Thanks, AJ. Appreciate that. at 412-928-9370. Let's go out to Ken in North Carolina. What's up, Ken?
Bob, how are you today?
I'm good.
I listen to you every week while I'm working in the yard and cutting my grass.
Well, I hope it makes it easier for you, but to me, that's therapeutic. I like going out there doing the same exact thing.
So, the Pirates. We have these guys, they come up to the majors. When they're in the minors, they're hitting 280 or so. As soon as they come up to the majors, they hit 180. And I realize that major league pitching is more than minor league pitching. I mean, I get it. But my concern is that the Pirates are imposing a hitting philosophy on these young guys when that hitting philosophy may be more applicable to better veteran hitters. And so they come up here and they struggle. All we hear about is, well, they took the pitcher deep into the pitch count. Like, I just want these guys to get a pitch and hit it.
Yeah, I think their plate awareness generally is not good at all. And I think it has to be better. You have to work counts. You have to be patient. You have to know what you're doing up there. And a lot of times when you start swinging at stuff that you shouldn't, you fall behind. And then you're caught looking at stuff that you should be swinging at. So, yeah, the bottom line is, and thanks for the call, Ken, they just do not have enough quality at their minor league system at this point. And whatever quality they do have is not being coached in the right direction. That's the only conclusion I can make on this. Why doesn't it work this way? When you get high-end picks, man, you expect them to be up here in a shorter amount of time and contributing. You don't have to be an all-star, but you have to be a regular. When is the last, you know, okay, Ke'Bryan Hayes, it took him a long time. He's finally here, and you know what he is. He's a very good defensive player, but I expected more from his offense, especially after what happened at the second half of last year. It's just not happening. He's hitting the ball, but you need power from those positions too. Sawinski's just a hit-or-miss kind of guy. Reynolds has proven right now to just be average, and he gave him a lot of money, and that's fine. But he needs to turn it on. He needs to make good on situations like we saw last night. Bases loaded, one out in the ninth, and he ends in a double play and set the stage for a San Francisco win. Bill in Cannonsburg. Hello, Bill. How are you today?
Hey, Pomp. Nice to talk to you.
You too.
I get so tongue-tied and frustrated talking about this Pirate offense.
All right, let's not then. What else do you want to talk about?
Now I want to talk about them because I want to ask you about somebody that I don't hear anything about. But, you know, about a week or so ago, you had five starters batting below the Mendoza line or right at it. And I know Gonzalez right now is hitting over 400 in the minors. But have you heard anything about this Lamb guy that was the last?
Yeah, he's kind of a veteran. He's been around. I would bring him up right now. Why wouldn't you?
He's batting over 400.
Yeah, and he has experience. He has experience. You know, Roddy Tellez did nothing for me when they signed him, and I didn't expect much, and I'm getting my wish, I guess, which is not good.
I hope the leash is getting short on Tellez because he adds nothing here, and I would have liked to seen them let Henry bat last night.
Yes.
Yeah, what are you accomplishing by putting Tellez in there and waving
nothing
at three pitches?
No, three pitches, you're out. And I don't. Yeah, you can tell me it's a critical situation, you're trying to get a run, sure. But you also have a guy who you endorsed as your number one overall pick, and he's up playing for you, and you choose to pinch hit for him twice in the same week. That's not a good look. It doesn't help him. It doesn't help them. They don't have a bench that they can consistently rely upon. They don't. So let him go.
No,
you know,
Connor,
they did that with Jared Connor Jones finally, an opportunity the other day when he was struggling in the sixth inning of a game. He was pitching very well, and he got himself out of it. Quinn Priester last night had a situation in the sixth inning where he was in a little bit of trouble. They let him pitch out of it. Sooner or later, you got to let guys work their way out of these situations, and if you don't, then don't have them up here. Send them down.
Send them down and bring Grandal up, and when you do that, bring Gonzalez and Lamb up for 10 games and let them play. I mean, you're five games out. Pretty soon you're going to be double digits out, and you're going to ruin the summer. Oh, well, the
thanks.
Hell with it. All right,
thanks,
Bob.
Bill. I hate to see people get depressed when they call. Steve in Latrobe. Steve, you're up. Go ahead.
Hey, Pomp, what's going on, buddy?
Thanks for calling, man. Nothing.
Well, I'm in the parking lot getting ready to go, so I appreciate the time. But what I find is ironic is, you know, before the season, everybody, fans, everybody alike thought, oh, boy, our starting pitching, it's in trouble. It's going to be weak, and our bullpen's going to be ironclad lockdown. And we're hitting all these home runs and wind-assisted Florida thinking, oh, we're going to score all these runs. And then, you know, we're 4-12 or 4-13 in our, you know, since we started 9-2, and it's been the total flip of the script.
Yeah,
I mean, the starting pitch is great. The bullpen's been a huge disappointment, and we can't seem to put the bat on the ball.
No, I thought the I didn't expect the bats to be what they were in spring training. They were hitting a lot of home runs off pitchers who were just out there.
Yeah, trip way far.
I get
yeah.
that. But I did expect it to be better from guys like Reynolds, Sawinski, Hayes. I expected better things from Henry Davis. None of this stuff has worked out so far. That's not to say that by the end of the year it can't. I'm saying you're right. Absolutely. The pitching has given you opportunities. I said of their team ERA right now, it's better than a lot of teams. But their bullpen has failed them at the end of it. Not so much middle relief, but at the end, Chapman and Bednar have not been good. And they're hitting, they are second in the majors and leaving men on base. You can't have that. You're getting guys on, you got to come up with clutch hits at times, and if you don't, then it ain't going to work. And Steve, thanks for the call. I'm up against the break. I hope you have a good afternoon. Thanks for calling me here. It's 412-928-9370. Thank you to PNC Bank, number one Cochrane, Shenderovich, Shenderovich and Fishman, Ireland Contracting, and Iron Rock Tap House in Greensburg. We have more on the way until 1 o'clock, and then Matt Cole for 4 hours. You can call him and talk to Nene Joe, one of 16 different personality traits he gave. I always, and I miss Matt. I'm going to be happy to see him. Anyway, give us a call here at 412-928-9370. Your thoughts on the Steelers, the Pirates. The Steelers are number 119. They got 8 picks, though, before they get their next pick, and I hope it's a wide receiver still. They need more help there. We'll be back with more right after this on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. All right, we're back. We have the weather forecast coming at you at the end. You're going to like it if you like hot weather because it's going to change in that direction. Also, here's an interesting stat. I wanted to throw this out because I think it's kind of the stat of the week for me anyway. And that would be this. Scotty Scheffler Scatty has made more this year than Rory McIlroy has made. Think about that again. Scotty Scheffler's caddy has made more than Rory McIlroy has made. That tells you a lot. Rory's still struggling to win, and Scheffler's been on fire, and he would be the fire heading into the PGA Championship. So there's a lot going on there in the golf world, and he has been unbelievably good and consistent at what he's been able to do. The big news here today, we're waiting on the Steelers' 119th overall pick. They're on number 114 so far. You would expect wide receiver, maybe defensive line. This after the first day of the draft, which saw 14 straight selections to start all offensive side of the ball. That sets a record. Most consecutive offensive players chosen to begin. The previous record was 7, so they doubled that. And then 6 quarterbacks taken in the first 12. And you know what the Steelers have done, which I think has been terrific? They've addressed needs with good fits and better value at each of those spots. We'll see what they do today. 412-928-9370, Joseph in Mount Oliver. What's up, Joseph?
Okay, thank you. I always like your show, Bob.
Thank you.
Please tell somebody in management to give the baseball scores to those 30 teams. I mean, I'd love that. But as far as Henry, I think he's a good catcher. Let's decide whether we want him to be a good catcher or Yogi Berra his rookie season. All right, he got an excellent arm. I just want to know how many wild pitches have been thrown when he's catching. Okay, and he catches foul tips, which is good. All right. Now, as far as David, he blew 5 games, okay? And Chapman's not pitching. Why don't they just start him 1-2? Just start him in a game. David, Chapman, David.
Well, I'm not going to do that, Joseph.
He's pitching to go 6 innings. Now, they get that superstar in the minor leagues. Can he pitch 3 innings?
Yeah, well, he's eventually they're working their way up. Thanks for the call, Joe.
Know when to come to the game to see him if they want to see him.
You're going to see him eventually. I appreciate your call, but I listen, Henry Davis. Here are the options for me. When Grandal gets back, you send him to the minors only because they're not willing to give him key at bats in key situations. He needs a little confidence boost. There's no question about that. He's struggling. He's doing a pretty good job behind the plate, which is encouraging. But if you're not going to give him that chance and you're going to pinch hit for him in those situations, then he's better off going to the minors and working on his offense because you have now Joey Bart behind Grandal. If not, then you stick him back in the outfield. But the question is where. You could make cases that he deserves to play to try to get his bat going, or you can put him at DH if that's the case as well because they've been struggling with a consistent DH. So those are the options. I tend to think they'll send him down when Grandal is ready just to work on the offense. And again, There have been a lot of guys who have been sent down before and have come back and done well. I'm not going to rule this a bust like a lot of people want to quickly do after just a couple of years. Let's go out to Noah in Birmingham. Hey, Noah, what's up?
Bob, it's your friend from Center Township. I'm on the road. I'm in an airport, and I decided to call the fan today. How you doing?
You're the man. I appreciate that, Noah. Thank you.
Hey, anytime. I like to get it out globally, you know, not just in the local Pittsburgh area. But I was watching the game last night, and it was a head scratcher to see Joey Bart go into the game, but not pinch hit, and they bring Rowdy Tellez, who's obviously been struggling, and Bart just had a hot bat.
It was just lefty righty. That's all.
I know, but still, it's just. I think that, you know, Bart has made more contact. We had a chance to win the game last night. We blew it. But, again, it struggles, it seems, with Andy Haynes. We're struggling hitting. We don't have a consistent DH. And I agree with 100% of what you said. Henry Davis needs to be sent down to work on his offense because Joey Bart's playing well enough. And when Grindahl comes back, he could be a steady until Davis gets right. So thanks for taking my call, and have a great day, Bob.
All right, Noah, thank you for doing it. I appreciate it. I like your thought about making it global. I get a lot of calls from a lot of different places, which I appreciate, man. And this is a two-way street. I've always regarded it as that. You have opinions. I do. Let's talk, whatever it may be. But I think most people do agree that the Steelers have done a pretty good job filling needs with good players who have production on their side. And they're also valued because it seems to me, all of them, based on scouts, had them projected to go higher than where the Steelers got them. So that's encouraging. But again, we'll see how it goes. Last year, it was Broderick Jones first round, Joey Porter Jr. second. This year, it's Troy Fontanu and then Zach Frazier, two offensive linemen. So three of the top four number one and two picks have been offensive linemen. They needed that to happen. And we'll see what it takes them. Hopefully a good run game could lead to some opportunities down the field. They've done a lot of work with changing this roster around. It's going to be interesting at training camp to see Russell Wilson, Justin Fields and company, and how they do. And also, how much preseason activity do you get a veteran like Russell Wilson? I think he needs it because it's a new system. But he's also a guy who's been around for a long time. You don't want to put him out there all the time. But that'll be a different dimension to what we see in training camp in Latrobe. Pirates coming up here later tonight. That's a 9:05 game, and we'll preview it with the North Shore Tavern leadoff show prior to that. But coming up next, it's Matty Cole. That's right. Folsy, Nene, Lounge Lizard. What up? He called him a lot of different names there. I'm not sure which one will stick, but he's going to be here for 4 hours, so give him a call at 412-928-9370. Fan weather is brought to you by Sun Chevrolet, sunchevy.com. Spring is here, and so are the deals at Sun Chevy. Today, cloudy, couple of showers, mainly early today, and it should be good the rest of the day. High of 77 tonight, warm 61. We've got an 85 by Tuesday. That's your fan weather. We got a special coming up tonight, 7:30 KDK. Be sure to join us for that as we break down the Steelers draft and what we think of it. Charlie Batch will join me, Rich Walsh, Jerry Dulac. We got a lot of stuff going on there. That's tonight, 7:30 on KDK. Tomorrow, 11:30 PM, it's the number one Cochrane Sports Showdown. Ray Fittipaldo will be on, along with Chris Adamski and Jeff Hathorne right here from The Fan, as we break down the Steelers and some other stuff as well. So it's a busy weekend. As always, I appreciate you calling and taking the time to do so. Appreciate Joel Nelson over there behind the glass, always doing his great stuff. And again, Matt Cole coming up here for the next 4 hours. And I'll chat with you on Monday during the Joe Show. And so far, we've been good. We've not allowed Joe to get on. If he's tried, Joel, if you know, he's going to try to do something to get on this program with an alias. And I don't want to have it happen again because he's done it too many times at my expense. That's the challenge. 412-928-9370. Cole coming up next. I'm Bob Pompiani. Have a great weekend right here on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.